for all being on here. If you bet just got on, awesome. If you've been on, I'm really sorry. They started it all early. But at least you're here now, and we're going to start. Okay, this is chapter 4. I love this chapter. It's my favorite chapter. I say that with every chapter, don't I? It's my favorite chapter. Who here has ever joined a group? Who's here in a group already? Oh, wow, most people are in groups. That's awesome. I got nothing to say. Aren't groups awesome? I would encourage you all to join a group. There's so many different groups and different types of people in the groups. You'll have a blast. These guys' groups are crazy. Spaghetti night, Monday night? This Monday night? If you'd like to join their group, spaghetti night, Monday night. And I'll guarantee she can cook. Or are you cooking? Just a thought. It's a thought that counts, they say. Okay, let's get moving here. We got a lot to cover. We're probably not going to complete this evening. I know we're not going to complete this evening. It is a phenomenal chapter. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, leaving therefore leaving, everybody say leave. Which means?
Go.
There we go. Leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, which means the basic teaching. Now, this is important because there is basic teaching in the kingdom. The problem is a lot of people don't know the basic teaching, so therefore they've never graduated out of elementary school. I know people that have been born again 20 years that have never left elementary school. So it's important that you personally determine in your heart that you're going to know the elementary principles of the gospel of Christ so that you can build a firm foundation. If you don't have a firm foundation for your house, what ends up happening? It falls down. Now, listen, it can be the most beautiful house on the street. It can have the most beautiful windows, all hardwood inside, and it can have an outdoor pool and everything like that. But guess what happens if the foundation isn't correct? What happens to that beautiful house? That's right. It becomes no longer beautiful. It becomes a dusty old trail. I don't even think that makes sense. But hey, Ma, how are you?
I'm here.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
So it's important to know that, honestly, making sure your foundation is set. So you all need to know these, and that's why we're teaching this class. So leaving the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Tell somebody to grow up, please. Listen, you wanted to do that so bad, didn't you? You wanted to tell Howard that. You got to be nice. Be nice to Howard. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, which means this. You can give your heart to the Lord and walk away. So the plan of God is that you give your heart to Jesus and never walk away. Not laying again, which means if you lay it once, you shouldn't have to lay it again. The difficulty is that we have people that are on the roller coaster ride with Jesus. 1 minute they're up, the next minute they're down. 1 minute they're in victory, the next minute they're in failure. 1 minute they're excited serving God with all of their heart, the next minute they've walked away. That is not the plan of heaven. That is not the plan of God. And when you get your foundation firm, understanding these elementary principles, you can become a solid individual. This is what Christ wants you to be, just like this. See that? That's right, balanced and solid. Watch, that's what it means like this, watch. So that means if anything bad is coming, what happens? That's right. What happens if the good things are happening? You stay solid. Consistency is everything. Say that with me. Consistency is everything. And that is the plan of God for your life. That's why some people have left this church. They say, Pastor, nothing bothers you, and that bothers me. That nothing bothers you. I can't stay here. Goodbye. I'm not even exaggerating. People have absolutely said that. They've left the church because I don't really get overwhelmingly bothered. Why is that? I've learned how to be consistent. Consistency is everything. Now, here are the elementary principles of the doctrine of baptisms. How many baptisms are there?
Three.
What are they?
Water, fire, and spirit.
Come on now. I am proud of you. The next one is called the laying on of hands. The next one is the resurrection of the dead, and the last is eternal judgment. So I want to just go through these real quick. The doctrine of baptisms, how many are there?
Three.
What are they?
Fire, water, and spirit.
Very good. The laying on of hands is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to get into tonight. of the resurrection of the dead. How many resurrections are there?
Hey, I had the first part.
How many resurrections are there? Great answer. Four. Very good. Christ was the first resurrection. The rapture is the second resurrection. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. And the fourth resurrection is the resurrection of the dead that will be standing before God at the white throne judgment. So therefore, we're going to break those all down, but I'm just giving you a quick overview. And the last one is eternal judgment. How many judgments are there?
Four.
No.
Five.
No.
Three.
No.
Seven.
Two. Thank you. You guys jumped all around the two. You should have just gone for two. There are two judgments. There is the Bema Seat of Christ, which all Christians will stand before, where you're judged for your words and your works, but not for your sin. And then there's the White Throne Judgment that only sinners will stand before, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. We'll be breaking all of that down with actually a timeline so you can actually see the entire timeline of how it works in the history of the kingdom. Now, let's get into the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is the next fundamental principle to deal with, and it's powerful because it's been lost in most local churches. Sister Mindy, could you close that for me, please? What's happened in these days is we wait for somebody special to come to lay hands on people. And I want you to understand something. Everybody who's a believer in this room, who's here a believer, amen, God has called you to lay hands on people. Now, laying hands on, we're going to break it all down so that you understand completely what it means to lay hands on folks. But in the church world today, we've gotten away from this principle, and we've made it just for the superstars. And I want you to recognize this is for every single believer in the kingdom of God. So the truth is that the wisdom of the devil and the foolishness of the preachers have enabled the local church to be powerless. This is important. The reason most churches don't see signs and wonders and miracles is because they have disabled the body of Christ by eliminating the laying on of hands. We've got to get back to understanding the laying on of hands so that you can go to work, lay hands on someone, and God will recover them right there. Amen? God has powerful things for your life. So there's a need to understand the anointing. The anointing is why we lay hands on people. We're not laying hands on them to console them. We're not laying hands on them to correct them. We're laying hands on them to release what is in you. Who's in you? That's right. You have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is within you. So what's happened is the power of God, the resident God that is dwelling inside of you because you've been born again, he has power. Now, who's inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. We know that because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are three yet one. We see the Holy Spirit at creation, we see the Father at creation, and we see Jesus at creation. Three yet one. So in the triunity of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is God who's working on this earth inside mankind. So each one that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, literally, not figuratively, the Bible says when you're not born again, your spirit man is dead. You're dead to Christ, dead in your trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2. But when you are born again, you become alive in Christ, alive. Your spirit man literally becomes possessed by God. Turn to somebody and say, I'm possessed. Now, not twisting your head, possessed. I mean, remember, the devil's only come to counterfeit. God is the one who initially planned to live inside of man. And so when we accept Christ as our Savior, he literally dwells inside of you. That's why change does not come from the outside in, but the inside out. Amen? Isn't that exciting? So the anointing is not the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. Now, many of you have absolutely no clue what I'm talking about. And I'm going to break this down so you completely understand. Then we're going to lay hands on you periodically through this class, maybe even tomorrow, next week, and maybe even the week after, because you need to experience the anointing. The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Let's say that one more time. Here we go. Perpetual propulsion, say that with me, perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Okay, it's very important. Stand right over there. Now, perpetual means
motion.
Continual, never ending. Perpetual means it doesn't stop. Perpetual propulsion. What's propulsion?
Push.
To push, to release. Perpetual propulsion, which means it is never stopping. The propulsion of the power of God is never stopping. So the goal, and what that means, is the perpetual. So if I had 10,000 Bibles, I would constantly be doing this. Ready? Watch. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Don't steal my Bible, man. That's not nice. Here we go. Perpetual. Now watch. Propulsion. Go. Nope, it didn't work. Propulsion means it comes with energy and power to accomplish the task. So the perpetual propulsion, the anointing, is the power of God that comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. That anointing is perpetual, never ending, being propelled from the Holy Spirit to you. So not just to you, but through you. So what we want to talk about, thank you, man. What we want to talk about in this class is teaching you how to get the anointing. How many of you are born again? Well, then you are anointed. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Well, I'm not as anointed as you. Yes, you are. How many of you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you? Not everybody will do a salvation. So just as I. How many of you got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you? How many of you are born again? We'll get this down. Is anybody not born again? Howard, don't raise your hand. How many of you are born again? Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed. What does that mean? That means you have the perpetual propulsion of the power of God dwelling inside of you, wanting to be released upon other people to produce supernatural works of God. The problem is the believers haven't been taught this. What they've been taught is, you're just somebody sitting in the church. Well, you're just somebody sitting, you go to church, that's nice, you sit in the congregation, you're a nice person. No. Every one of us have the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, according to Romans chapter 8. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he shall quicken your mortal bodies by that same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is the same Holy Spirit that dwelled inside of Jesus Christ when he walked on this planet. That's why Jesus said, greater work shall you do because I go to my Father. Why? Because then, as he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit according to Romans chapter 14 and Romans chapter 16. And now the Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells. So if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then the perpetual propulsion of the power of God is resident.
Amen.
That means supernatural things are waiting to be released from your life. Well, I just thought that was for the preacher. Well, I'm glad you thought wrong.
Amen.
But this is what's happening in the church world today. Pastors are not teaching their people these principles. And so what's happening is we have a mute church. Or we have a dead church. I have a better word that I'm really searching for in my head. No, it's good, but that's right. It's dead. We have whatever. So we have a church that's not doing God's will. This is what's happening at large. And this is why now, watch. 9,000 churches are closing in America a year. A year. Now watch. We just went and looked at a church on the south side that just closed. Isn't that crazy? Walked in the building. It's a beautiful building on the inside. And probably 50 years ago, it was a hopping church. Now, Most of the board members are over 90 years old, and this last Sunday was the last Sunday they will ever have church in there, and they closed it, and the church building is for sale. There'll be four more on the other side of Route 13 in the next 2 or 3 years. Churches are closing all over our region. In the Catholic denomination, how many Catholic churches did they close in Elmira? And one more is for sale. That's not just the Pentecostals, that's the Catholics. That's all denominations, the Methodists, the Episcopalians. All churches are closing. Why are they closing? Well, because they've made the church impotent. What does that mean? It has no ability to reproduce. When the church is impotent, it cannot reproduce itself. A church that's not reproducing itself is a church that will soon die. So a church that's not seeing salvations, and let's be real, in the average church in America, the average church sees less than one soul saved a year. If you only see one soul saved a year in your church will be closed. It's just a matter of time. So who is actually supposed to be producing? Well, the body of Christ is. What's the job that I have? My job, Jesus said, I gave gifts to men, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. And Jesus gave gifts to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. For what? For the equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Turn to someone and say, I'm a worker.
I'm a worker.
Tell somebody else, I'm not a slug.
I work for God.
That's right. Every one of you and I are all workers. That's why the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, bring into unity and bring into maturity, is the job that God has placed on my heart and every pastor. The pastors that don't do their job, ultimately their churches will close. And they'll close because they're not empowering people, teaching people this elementary principle of the gospel about the power of God that dwells inside of them. Now, when people don't understand that, they won't share the gospel. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for the word of God is the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So when the children of God aren't moving in the anointing of God, the supernatural power of God to share the gospel of Christ, then they don't win their friends to the Lord. They don't win their family to the Lord. Nobody gets saved in the church. And when no one gets saved in the church, it's closing. And this is a serious issue. Not in this house, because I'm not standing before Jesus for you. Glory. I'm going to teach you how to make sure you understand how to move in the anointing. Not your power, for it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. To allow God's supernatural power to flow through you to destroy yokes of bondage. What's a yoke? Well, if you've ever seen two cows or two oxen put together, they're in yokes, their heads are locked in, they can't get out. The yoke, the anointing, the power of God, the perpetual propulsion of the power of God breaks yokes so that they can be free. God wants to use you to make people free. Isn't that exciting? The Bible says, as freely as you've received, freely give. Well, that giving is through the anointing. For anything done in the natural man can only touch the natural man. But what is done through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, touches the supernatural man. Now, how many of you know everybody is a spirit? If everyone's a spirit, how long does everyone live?
Forever.
Whether you're going to heaven or you're going to the lake of fire, everybody is going to live eternally. And so every one of us in this room, turn to someone and say, I'm a worker. Tell somebody else, I'm a worker. Tell somebody else, don't be a Now, what's very important, too, is understand that the anointing, what we have, is not the same as Old Testament. Now, why is this important? Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. If the old covenant, it's not in there yet. It might be later, but I'm kind of jumping around. My head is just kind of working. It's working. I know. Poor Al. So, you behave yourself, Howard. I'm lost now. Let's go back to the book. So what happens is the old covenant, or those that lived in the Old Testament, did not have what we have. And this is really, really important for us to understand. The disciples did not have what we have until Jesus died and rose from the dead. Now, this is important because when we understand what the disciples did for working for God, because they were empowered through the level of authority, they were able to do supernatural exploits. But yet you and I, because Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises, we have even more than they had. Yet, let's be honest, the church is more impotent than it's ever been in the history of the church. We've got to have a revival. What does revival mean? You can't revive something that wasn't once alive. So there are a lot of people that are in Christ, but not alive in Christ. So there needs to be a revelation. There needs to be a teaching and a training to where you will start using the anointing that abides within you. I'll show you that verse here in a little bit. So let's talk about the Old Testament saints. In the Old Testament, not everybody was anointed. Only three groups of people were anointed in the Old Testament. Number one, the kings. All the kings were anointed. The anointing, though, in the Old Covenant being different was this. The anointing did not abide within them. The anointing only came upon them. Let me say that again. In the Old Covenant, the anointing did not dwell inside of them. Well, why was that not possible? Because the Holy Spirit did not dwell inside of them. Remember, in the Old Covenant, the old salvation was not by works, but works showed righteousness. It's not the same. The anointing in the Old Covenant came upon them, rested upon them, like this. Ma, stay still. So if someone, a king, was being anointed in the Old Covenant, they would be standing and the anointing would come from heaven and rest on them. Okay? That's not what you and I have. We have the anointing dwelling inside of us. So the kings and the priests and the prophets, these are the three groups that were anointed in the Old Covenant. The anointing would rest upon them. If you remember Samson, the anointing would drape them. They would be used by God, and then the anointing would come off them. And that's how it worked in the Old Covenant. What's interesting is in Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus sent the disciples out and said, as freely as you've received, freely give, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, spoke all those things. But what many of us in the New Testament, you know, many of us don't realize is that anointing did not come from inside of them. That anointing, when Jesus sent them out, the anointing rested upon them. Once they were used, the anointing came off them. It's different with the New Testament. And this is what I love so much about it. So let's just read a few verses so that you see I'm not just blowing smoke. Here we go. First, the kings were anointed. 1 Kings 15:1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord." The priests were anointed. Exodus chapter 40, verses 13 through 15. "And you shall put on the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as a priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics, and you shall anoint them as you anointed their father, and that they may minister to me as priests, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout the generations." The prophets were also anointed. 2 Kings chapter 2, 19 through 14. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what you may, what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked, and suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of old clothes and tore them into pieces. And he also took up the mantle, everybody say mantle, which represents the anointing. So when Elijah went up into heaven, the prophet of God, he said, "If you see me go up into heaven, you shall receive a double portion of my spirit." And the proof of that was when he was taken up, his mantle fell to the ground. Elisha walked over, picked it up, walked over to the Jordan and went like this. He slapped it. And when he slapped it, the water rolled back. When he had the tunic on, he was anointed. If the tunic wasn't on, he wasn't anointed. So the anointing is very powerful. And the anointing does supernatural things. So every one of you in this room, every one of you watching by live stream, have the ability to move in the supernatural power of God. To see sick people healed. To see blind eyes open, deaf ears be able to hear. God is able to do supernatural exploits through you. The problem and why we don't see that as much is because the church has not taught their people these principles. One day there was a woman in China and she got saved. Now, many of you might know, but China is a closed country. What does that mean? You're not allowed to have churches in China. All the churches are underground. And if you're a pastor and you get caught in China preaching the gospel, you are thrown in prison, most of them for the rest of their lives. Some of them are killed. But here this woman, she gets saved. She gives her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she gets a Bible, and she starts reading it. She read in Matthew 10, "Go into the towns, preach the gospel, as freely as you've received, freely give," telling her to raise the dead. So what she started to do was, she started to walk into town, and she would walk into town, and she would say, "Where's your morgue?" They would point her to the morgue. They don't know what she's there for. Point her to the morgue, and she'd come out with two or three people. She went to the next town. "Where's your morgue?" Went in, pulled out two or three people. She kept doing this until a Baptist minister came up to her and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, the Bible says I can raise the dead. That's what I've been doing." He says, "That doesn't work today." So she stopped praying for people. Many believers don't believe who God says you are. What matters is who God says you are. Because God will not give you a calling without the power to accomplish it. If God called you to do supernatural moves, he's empowered you to do that. That's through the anointing. Turn to someone and say, "I'm anointed."
I'm anointed.
Tell somebody, "I can heal the sick." Amen. That's a fact. That is the fact. Amen. That is the fact. So here we have the prophets, the prophets, the priests, and the kings were anointed. Yet there was one strange group in the Old Testament. Just one. The only group in the Old Testament who actually had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. Does anybody know who they are without cheating? The builders. I got the scripture right here. We go. Ready? Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting of jewels for setting, in carving wood, to work in all manner of workmanship. This is the only group in the entire Old Testament who had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. Isn't that crazy? It is. So, man, you know this. If God in the Old Covenant will bless people who work on the house of God, what will he do in the New Testament for those who work on the house of God?
They get double portions.
That's really powerful when you think about it. You know, it's amazing that in one of the minor prophets, it says, you make great money, but you it's like the money is going out your pocket. It's like you have holes in your pocket, is the exact verbiage. And they said, and the Lord said, the reason you have holes in your pocket is because you take care of your house at home, but you don't take care of my house. When you take care of the house of God, you know you'll always be blessed. Because they were the only people. God built a house that had amazing beauty. I mean, there was gold everywhere. It really makes me chuckle about how many people get upset when we talk about money in church. We're a very cheap church. You need to know that. We take maybe one offering a Sunday. Every once in a while when we have a guest speaker, we'll take two offerings. But I'll tell you something. We are one of the least offering-taking churches in the Northeast. I know churches who take four offerings every service. Every service. I know one church, they keep taking offerings till they get the amount that they want.
Good Lord.
It's the truth. It is amazing. And what happens is this, in the Northeast, we complain. And you know, like this year, we're going to be doing some renovations on this house to make, you know, we've been here 10 years. It's time to make God's house look beautiful again. I'm being told that purple chairs just aren't pretty anymore. I don't know. I like them. Amen. Amen. The millennials let me know that they're ugly. So, it is better than old wooden benches or chicken crates. Glory to God. But, you know, we're going to do some renovations. And you know what's going to be amazing? We'll have people leave the church this year because we're going to raise money to close in the outer portion there to make the house look better. We're going to redo the foyer and we're going to redo the sanctuary to make it look pretty. And people are going to leave the church. And you know what? I'm already ready for that. Why am I ready for that? Because it makes me sad that the only people who held the anointing, literally were filled with the anointing, were those who worked on God's house. But watch this. God's house, when you start really, really studying it, everything was covered with gold. I mean, it was gold covered. We're not talking like a 10-carat gold plate. You know, you rub it long enough and it falls off. We're talking pure gold. I mean, absolute beauty. God's house should look beautiful. And it's amazing how people get bothered with that. Now, that was free topic. I just strayed a little bit. But we have been in this building 10 years this year. It's our 10th year. So let's start talking about it. Here we go. The anointing is tangible. Everybody say tangible. Most people don't really know what that is. I didn't say tangerine. I said tangible. What is tangible? Tangible means touchable,
seeing,
transferable, which means it can be handed off.
Smelling.
Yep, you can smell. So if this was, the anointing is tangible, let's just say this is the anointing. If I brought it over, you'd feel it. You can touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it. The anointing is just like that, but it's in the spirit. The anointing is touchable. How many of you have ever felt the anointing of God come on you? It's like you feel like, ooh, that feels good. You know, it's almost you get the uchiguchis, you know, the goosebumps all over you. You know, that's the anointing. The anointing is touchable, transferable. Now, this is the key. Why did God say one of the elementary principles of the believer is the laying on of hands? Who here is anointed? What is the anointing? The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of God's power that dwells in you. Where does it dwell? Inside of you. How come it dwells inside of you? Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. What can God do? Everything. So residing with inside of you is the power of heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit, we see him at creation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God brooded over the earth at creation. So the Spirit of God brooded, the word brooding means he hovered over the earth at creation. So the Spirit of God can do anything because he is God. Where does God dwell? Where does God dwell? Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. That's right, you're possessed. So the principle of the laying on of hands is for every single believer to get the anointing that dwells where? Inside of us, out. That's the key. That's why he said the laying on of hands. And that's why it's so sad when churches no longer preach or teach this principle. I remember one time I was in Orange, Massachusetts. That's where Jerry came up, rededicated his life there. I was in Orange, Massachusetts, and my last night there, I taught them some of these principles. And I said, now go out, lay hands on everybody you can find, lay hands on your cat, your dog, your horse, lay hands on anything that moves, practice to move in the power of heaven. Well, after service, the pastor pulled me in his office and said, don't you ever teach them that again. They must ask me permission to lay hands on anybody. And I will never have you back in this church. And what he did was he actually called the district of that denomination, and I was the topic of the next meeting, being told, don't any of you have Spencer in your church. He empowers your people. Well, really, I didn't empower the people. Who dwells in you? I said, who dwells in you? Who dwells in you? If the Holy Ghost dwells in you, what can't you do?
Nothing.
Nothing. The anointing resides inside of you. So the issue is not that the anointing, the supernatural power of God dwells in you. The issue is, how are you going to get it out? The laying on of hands. This is elementary school. The laying on of hands is the initial principle of learning how to release the anointing that resides inside of you to what? Transfer it to somebody else. Now let me show you. The devils believe so much in this that they have created what we call a counterfeit. Remember, the devil always counterfeits what God does. The major counterfeit in this area right now, and really across the United States, but we have a strong bearing on it here, is Reiki. Many people don't know what Reiki is. It was established by a monk, a Buddhist monk. And what it is this, the transference of energy from one person to the other. It's not God's power, it is the devil's power. Remember, power comes only from two dimensions, either from God, the God of heaven, the one true God, I am God, there is none beside him, or Lucifer. That's the only place that power comes from, God or Lucifer, no other location. So when someone moves in power, they're either moving in the supernatural power of God by releasing the anointing, or they're moving in the power of Satan. Satan has great power. Fortune telling is real. Satan cannot heal, but what he'll do is he'll move a demon from one location of a body to another to show or to make someone feel like they've been healed. Reiki is the counterfeit of the laying on of hands. If you are going to go get a massage anywhere, the first question you have to ask is this. Are you Reiki or not? Majority of them are. The majority of not only masseuses, I don't know if that's the right word, those that are masseusing. But all chiropractors have been taught Reiki. It's part of their schooling.
Really?
So you have to make a decision, because not all that have been taught practice. You need to make sure that if you either go to a masseuse or a chiropractor, you ask them, do you practice Reiki? Why? Because the devil, being a counterfeiter, knows that there must be a release of power. So what a Reiki master is actually doing when they're massaging your back is they're releasing demonic energy, demonic power into your body. And charging you for it. I know, what a deal, huh? If we did that at church, we'd be in trouble.
What a bargain.
But that's important for you to know. You never let anybody do a massage. You never go to a chiropractor without asking, do you practice Reiki? Because whether you believe in it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, it's called impartation. What is inside of you will be released to somebody else. So as they're doing their masseuse on you, they're releasing energy on you. And it's not God's energy, it's diabolical energy. Yes?
My sister worked on the side therapist one time, and she wasn't aware of all this, what you're talking about, but the lady that was doing her, she says, I want to lay hands on you, and she felt uneasy about it, so she just started just covering herself with the blood and said, Lord, just, you know, cover me and just protect me. And the massage therapist says, I can't do it. It's not working on you.
It's not working on you. I'll tell you why. Because then Jesus is stronger than any devil. Amen. Pastor Chad and I one time went to the Harley-Davidson shop in Corning when they had one there. And while we were there, they asked us to come up there to bless bikes. And so we're all set up, and you know, we have a nice little spot. And next to us sets up a Reiki master. And she was laying hands on people and laying hands, inviting people to bring their animals so she could pray and release the power into their animals to heal the animals. And so I said, this is going to be a great day. And I just sat over there binding that spirit who's given her power. In Jesus' name, you have no authority, because we're here, by the way. We're the believers, the sons and daughters of God. You have no authority. And then I sent Pastor Chad over, and he started binding the spirits over there too. We had just a blast all day long. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So as believers, we have authority. But you have to be aware that the devils understand this basic principles. So you must understand the basic principle. Isn't it sad that the masseuse world, that the diabolical world, is training people how to lay hands on people and the church has stopped? The church dumb as stones or what? We got to revive this, amen? Because this is elementary, my dear. Turn to someone and say, elementary.
Elementary.
Amen. The anointing is tangible, touchable, transferable. Here's a really cool understanding of that. In 2 Kings chapter 13, 20 through 21, then Elisha died. Remember the prophet who had the mantle? Elijah went, was taken up in the chariots of fire, and the mantle came down, and Elisha picked it up and struck the waters, and it rolled back. And whenever he had the mantle on, he was moving in the anointing. Well, he died. And when he died, they threw his bones in a cave-ish kind of thing. And one day, these guys were in war, and their friend got killed. So they threw their friend. They didn't know Elisha's bones were in there. They threw their friend in there, and their friend who was dead hit Elisha's bones and rose from the dead. The anointing in his bones was so powerful that it even raised a dead man who just simply touched his bones. I'll read the rest. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha. He revived and stood on his feet. Now, wouldn't you mess yourself? So every believer has more than the Old Testament saints. So whatever you saw Elisha do, you can do. Whatever you saw the disciples do in Matthew 10, you can do. The problem is you're not taught. I'm sorry, here you are. Because it's time for the body of Christ to start doing what the body is called to do. What's amazing is you're going to know people that I will never meet. You're going to know people that I will never meet. You're going to know a lot of people who I never meet. He works at the prison, at the jail. You are going to know people, and you are going to know people, and you are going to know people, and you are going to know people. You are going to know people. You are going to know people. Hi, Terry. You are going to know people. The fact is this, is that the reason God empowered the entire church, the body of Christ, is because we are all going to be in different places, know different people, and somebody's going to be sick. Someone needs salvation. Someone needs deliverance. They need a devil cast out of them. They need God to move in their life. Well, how is that possible? Well, you're probably not going to get them to church. Well, why would you need to? You're there. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. You are possessed by the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing dwelling inside of you. And when you learn this basic principle, you can learn how to get what's in out. This is the key. It's what we're really learning in this class, but I got to lay down the foundation solid. The key is to get the supernatural perpetual propulsion of the power of God from your spirit man to somebody else. Because when you can do that, you can set the captives free. Amen. If you just have the anointing for yourself, one day, Rod Parsley was in it, went to his office. And if you don't know who Rod Parsley is, he's a pastor, pastors a church in I think, Reynoldsburg or Reynoldsville, Ohio. It's a church of over 5,000. And so Rod Parsley was going into work one day. He walked into his office, and his secretary's office was before his. And he walked into the office, and there she was. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. She says, the anointing is so strong. He said, then type, woman, type. The anointing is to do work. The anointing is power to work. Tell somebody, don't be a slug. You stand in church, the presence of God comes on you, feel the anointing come into you and come on you, and man, you're elated. Some of you come around the altar, we lay hands on you. We know how to bring the power of God out. It's not that we're special. It's not that we shower different than you that morning. Prayerfully, you all shower. But what it is getting what's in out. And when you learn this principle, then you can bring that supernatural power of God out to touch somebody who needs to be touched by God himself. There's nothing up my sleeve. It's not me. It's he. And this is the exciting part. When we don't learn this, then people, I love what Paul said. Paul said, I don't come to you with excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. The church has to learn how to enter in, how to release, how to increase the anointing in their life, or else your faith is just on somebody preaching the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that, but one day you're going to come into a level of persecution that you need power. We know that power because we studied it last week, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The word witness there literally means to be martyred. God will give you enough power even if you have to die for your faith. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. It's getting that power, the anointing, the Holy Spirit's creative power to come out and touch somebody else. That's what God desires for your life. Well, Pastor, I'm going to bring them to have you pray for them. That's great. I'll pray for them. I'll spit on my hand. I'll do whatever I got to do. You know, I'll pray for them. And I love praying for folks. We see miracles all the time. We don't see miracles because I'm special, because Pastor Spencer is better than we are. That's baloney. What it is Pastor Spencer has learned how to move in the power of God, how to move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, I know how to release the anointing sometimes better and stronger, not because I am better, but because I practice more. And when you more you practice, the more you become qualified in the aspect of learning how to release. And we'll get into that. That's a whole other thing. We're getting there now. So the anointing abides. What's the word abide mean? Resides. That's why it's perpetual propulsion. The anointing resides in you. How many of you are born again? You have the ability to lay hands on the sick in the middle of the night, at noon, at 4 in the morning, at 6 in the afternoon, in 14 minutes. You have the ability to lay hands on anybody at any point in time if the anointing abides within you. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Amen. So every one of us are anointed. Every one of us, God is waiting. Turn to somebody and say, he's waiting. He's waiting to use you. He's waiting to work through you. He's waiting to release his power through your life, through impartation, the laying on of hands, elementary, my dear, so that somebody will experience the supernatural power of God, that they don't ever have to doubt whether God is real or God is just a fictitious story that religious people believe. I love laying hands on folk and them experiencing the Holy Spirit for the very first time. That's always my fun. I mean, that's probably the most enjoyable thing that I love. And I remember there was this young boy. It was I want to say it was like we did a special prayer meeting, and a bunch of young people from Elmira came. It was near Christmas. I remember that now. It was near Christmas, and a bunch of these young kids came. They were like 11, 12, 13 years old, and they were all just little kids, and they're all standing over here in this corner. And I just felt the need to go lay hands on them and release the anointing. And I walked over to this young man, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he went, which means I'm scared to death. I don't know what you're going to do to me. And so I just said, you know, I'm just gonna put my hand on his shoulder. I didn't slap him in the head. I didn't spit on him. I just laid my hands on him because I know how to release the anointing. And I said, get ready. Here comes the presence of Jesus. And I released the anointing. And he went just like this. I said, you felt that, didn't you? I said, get ready. Here it comes again. That's Jesus, you know. And I released the anointing. And he went, oh my goodness, that is so cool. Because the anointing is tangible, transferable, touchable, releasable. I remember I was in my office and somebody came in my office and they were a guest of somebody in the church and this person wanted them to meet me. This is before we did guest reception. And I walked over and I said, can I pray with you? And they said, yes. So what did I do? What's the elementary principles? Elementary principle? The laying on of hands. So I didn't run up and slap him in the head. Why? Well, because they were scared enough to be in my office. So I went like this. Can I pray for you? Am I laying hands on them? Yes. Absolutely.
You're touching them.
And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And I just stood there and I released the anointing. And I watched his face. As you can't deny the power of God. You can't deny when you experience the presence of Jesus. You can deny religion. You can deny church. But you can't deny the power of God. And he said, just in my office, he didn't know what to do. I walked up to a group of people. I remember it was down in Dallas, Pennsylvania. And there was 30 people on this side of the church. And I was tired. I've been praying for people all night long, preaching all night long. And I just said, I just got to release the anointing. And I said, I need you all just to grab hands. They all grabbed hands. And I said, the anointing is just like electricity. We'll get into that in just a little bit. The anointing is just like electricity. Get ready. I'm going to release the anointing here. And you're all going to be experiencing the power of God all the way, all those who are touching. And I released the anointing. And just like electricity, current would travel through. If you grab one hand on another, it will travel through. Don't ever pee on a fence. Yes, I am. Yes, I had to try it, and it works. Just want y'all to know, it does work. Just, I had them all grab hand. I released the anointing, and the power of God went all the way through that line of people. And every one of them were like, that is just so amazing. It's not really amazing. It's God. Mm-hmm. Turn to someone and say, that's for me. That's for me to give. That's right. Not just for you to keep, as freely as you receive, freely give. So this anointing is great to experience, but the real reason for the anointing is not for you to just experience it, but for you to give it away. Amen. Okay, we're going to go just a little bit more. Now, it's important for us to know that Jesus, who is our greatest example, did not do any mighty miracles until he was anointed. Jesus did nothing supernatural until the anointing came upon his life. So if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Amen. We see this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed him. Acts 10, 38, how God anointed. What did God do? What did God do? What's the anointing? The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Say it with me one more time. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Say it one more time. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. One more time. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. One more time. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. One more time. The
perpetual propulsion of the power of God.
Not proportion.
Here
we go. One more time. The perpetual of the of. Here we go. That's the anointing. Where does the anointing dwell?
Within us.
Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed.
I'm possessed.
That's right. The anointing abides, resides. You can't get rid of it. Isn't that cool? And elementary, my dear, is the laying on of hands. That is how Jesus, and we'll see this as we continue, that is how Jesus initially taught how to get the anointing out of you and into somebody else. And it's that anointing that will change their life. You can talk about God all you want, but until the anointing is released, you will find that they have not experienced God. They've experienced a level of religion. You know, that's why in church, you always hear me say this. Move forward. Don't sit in the back. Why do I say that? Well, because we just want people to hang out near the front. No. It is very true. The anointing is stronger in the front.
Absolutely.
It is, no question. And why is that? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So what happens is when people are closer to the front, it's not that God doesn't love the people in the back, but there seems to be a greater hunger and a greater desire to obtain what God has for them. In fact, I challenge all of you this coming Sunday not to sit in your normal seat. I'm waiting for some fistfights on the front row. The only time there's actually reserved seats is if we have guests coming in. Other than that, it's fair game. It's on. I'm talking like I'm not even exaggerating. When we were in the school, we had people really mad. Now, here is a rule. You're not allowed to move people's stuff. You are here early. If somebody's stuff is in the seat, you can't move it to get closer. Okay? That's not fair. That's not nice. That is why we almost had a fist fight at the school when we were there. It was awesome. I was so excited watching people fighting over the front row of the church. There's nothing more exciting for a pastor than seeing people do that. And it's also the spit zone. You can't get a better location than the spit zone. We'll experience that. We'll explain that when in the chapters continue. But I really want you to realize, honestly, sitting in the back is actually less of an anointing than sitting in the front. You should be making sure you're here early enough to sit in the front. Now, it's not that God won't touch you in the back. God's presence is definitely in the back. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. But the problem is it's not as strong there. Anybody here ever walk into a room where there's one light on? The closer you get to the light, what happens? The brighter it is. Really, it's not any brighter. The light's not brighter. What's the difference? You're closer to the light. The closer you get to the light, the more clearly you see. If you're in the back of the room and there's a light on, can you see? Well, yeah, you can see. But there's more shadows. It's not as clear. So whenever you have the anointing in the room, it's always wiser to get as close to the light as possible so you see less shadows. You can get closer, get touched more. The woman with the issue of blood, as I was speaking about on Sunday, the woman with the issue of blood got touched, not because she stood on the outside of the group of people that were thronging, is the word they use in the King James, which means they're all bumping against Jesus. But that woman said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. She got her miracle because she was unwilling to sit in the back. In fact, she should have been killed for what she did. It was illegal for her to come into a public arena without crying out, unclean, unclean, unclean. By law, she should have been stoned to death. But she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. Now listen, now I've been preaching for 30 years. Wow, I'm old. I've been preaching for 30 years, 31 years this year. Wow. And the one thing that I've always found is the people that press in get more than those who don't. The people who move forward and say, I refuse to just sit back here and be in church. The people that say, I want all of God I can get today, they position themselves in the anointing. We call it this way. It's the old statement. Get under the spout where the glory's coming out. Anybody here ever take a shower? Really, I'm hoping everybody says amen. Some people only have bathtubs. That's true. Yes. No, it's even more. What happens is when you press in, the anointing is released more towards you.
It's more directed towards you.
No, you actually, it's stronger to you specifically. So you position yourself. If you've taken a shower before, let's just talk about, all right, you're going to shower. So you're in your, you know, my bathroom is you have a sink, then you have your toilet, then you have your shower. So I'm going to take a shower. So I disrobe. I turn on the shower, and I walk over, and I look in the mirror. And I say, boy, I sure do feel clean. Boy, that water sure does feel good. You suds up. So you grab the soap. You know, your body's dry. You grab the soap, and you start rubbing it under your armpits, behind your ears. You know, that cakey stuff. But you never get in the shower. So you get dressed. You turn the shower off. You put your shoes on, you go to work. What do you smell like?
Soap.
Are you clean? No.
No, you just masked the smell with the soap.
You didn't get under the spout where the glory's coming out. And when you come to the church, when you come to church, man, I'm the kind of guy where I'm not leaving till I get what I want. I want the presence of God to touch me. I am dissatisfied. In fact, poor Mackenzie Coe, Minister Mackenzie, she has been taught that if I'm standing over there in worship and I'm just like this, she better change the song because it ain't moving nobody. All of a sudden, when it's a hard worship service, she'll look over at me, and I'll look at her, and I won't say a word, and she'll break into a blood song. Why? Because the devil hates the blood. The blood drives out every demon spirit as well as stirs the spirit up in people. Start singing about the blood. People get excited about Jesus. If they don't get excited about Jesus singing about the blood, they need to get saved.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. And man, she knows, I'm not going anywhere without the anointing. If you've seen me pray for people around the altar, I don't just go lay hands on people around the altar. I wait. Why? Because I want someone to draw. The anointing is a lot like an old well. In the old days, what they did is they had a well. It was usually a rock well. And they would have a post with a bucket on it. And they would lower that bucket into the water and pull it out and get their dipper and get refreshed. The anointing is just like that. What's amazing is the more you draw, the more you get. So what's amazing is I'll go to another church. When we went to Indiana, your church, your home church. Went to Indiana. My wife and I went to Indiana. Pastor Rhonda did the Saturday, Friday night and Saturday service, and I did Sunday services. Man, I walked in there, and I just went, I released the anointing. And you just watch people's faces. The presence of God started to increase. And all of a sudden, when I started preaching, started laying hands on folk, there was very few people standing. One guy, he was a big guy. I'm trying to remember who he was. He was, it's like an island man. You know who I'm talking about? He had just gotten saved that morning. And so he had no clue. And he came through the line, and I laid hands on him and released the anointing. And he said he got about 5 steps away and then started falling forward. Thank God the catchers were there, because he'd have crushed anybody near him. He was a big man. The anointing changes lives. Where is the anointing? Where is the anointing? Within you. So that means you have the ability to change lives no matter where you are.
Amen.
At work, someone you see them sick, you say, can I pray for you at break time? You don't pray for them during work. You work during work.
Right.
Amen.
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 Well, I'm just praying. I'm taking another break. Can I pray? Listen now, they might get a smoke break, but you got to go, you got to do it right. Amen? Amen? Now, this lady's got it made. Come here. She has it made. She is a beautician. So she gets to lay hands on people every day. They don't even, and she's her own boss. They don't even know. They don't know that she's laying hands on them and she's cutting hair and saying, I release the presence of God. And she's touching them. And the presence of the Lord is coming out of her and going into them. And God is doing a supernatural work and they don't even know it.
Amen.
Isn't it fun? And she's getting paid to do it. So we're going to pick up next week on the principles of this, where we're going to go next week. Ready? How to increase the anointing that's within you. And then we're going to get into how to release the anointing that's within you. We're going to teach you how to lay hands on people, and then you got to go practice. Is that fair? It's going to be so much fun.
I thank God that I've been through this class once before, because I've been able to use my gifts.
Absolutely. Every one of us, turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. Who dwells in you? Who dwells in you? Who is the Holy Spirit? Amen. That means the power is what? Resident. So that means the laying on of hands is the elementary principles to release the power of God from your life to theirs. And again, we'll get into starting next week how to do that. And then we're going to practice. And then you're going to go home and practice. I've seen dogs healed. I've seen horses healed. I've seen cars healed. I have. I've seen them. I've seen a bunch of stuff healed, man. You know why? Because God loves to heal. God loves to touch. And I've watched people, literally, I've stood here, and they've stood back there. And I learned how, when we get into releasing the anointing, I've learned how to release the anointing to where there is not, there's graduation from elementary to middle school to high school to college, where you learn how to release the anointing by the spoken word. And I've had people go out in the spirit all the way back in the back of the church just by releasing the word of God. The anointing is not never confined, but has to be learned. So much fun. Hold on. Yes.
Talk about cars being healed and everything. We have in our home a dishwasher. I hate the thing, but my wife loves it.
Oh, of course, she has to do the dishes.
No wonder she loved it.
But she, so it's been about 6 months it hasn't run. So she said to me, "Would you pull it out?" Because I figured it was a control that sends water in it. And I said, "Yeah, I'll pull it out. I don't know nothing about dishwashers, but I'll check it." So I pulled it out and I checked the regulator that regulates water. It's working fine. Put it back together. Said, "Nothing I know. I don't know what's wrong with it." And so we prayed about it.
No, we laid hands on it.
Yeah. And closed the door. Nothing.
It got healed, not miracled.
And I opened it up and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you run."
Honestly, the anointing made heaven and earth. The anointing made man. The anointing made the animals. The anointing made it rain. The anointing rolled back the Red Sea and dried the ground. The anointing turned bitter water to sweet. The anointing killed Goliath. The anointing, come on, we can go through all that the anointing has done. Who in this room is anointed? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stop thinking yourself less than you actually are and start moving in the anointing. That's good stuff right there. Let's all stand to our feet. It's 10:30 at night and you've all sat so well. I want to remind you, if you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues often and always. If you haven't spoken in tongues yet, that's all right. Pastor Chad's right here. He'll lay hands on you again. And sometimes, you know, you're just stubborn. We'll get you filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. So if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. You haven't been prayed for yet. Randall will be over here. Randall, get over there. Pastor Chad will be over here. You want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. Make sure these guys lay hands on you. But Pastor, how can God use him? He has a Harley Davidson hat on. That's how God can use him. He is a Harley guy. Jesus. Do you have Harley underwear on?
Glasses, a shirt, and a hat.
No underwear. Ah. Hey, you're not fully anointed, that's for sure. So, remember, this is who you are. This is who you are. You are anointed to do mighty works for God. That's why when you share the gospel, everything changes. That's why when you lay hands on people, God touches them. Because God is looking for you. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Turn to someone and say, "I'm a laborer. Not a slug." Amen. So that means this coming Sunday is Friendship Sunday. Don't be a slug. Fill your row. You got a row filled? Amen. A whole row. Y'all need a whole row filled. Why are we doing that? So they can hear the gospel and be saved. So I want to remind you, the offering is over here. If you need a book, that's over here. If you need Jesus, it's get on your knees, but let's fill this house this Sunday. Amen? Amen. So you're anointed. Go preach the gospel. Go encourage people. Go invite people to the house of the Lord. Fill a row. One whole row is yours. Fill it. Fill every row with you. Father, bless this offering in the name of Jesus. God, we also declare that, Lord, what you're teaching us through your word in Jesus, how you live to do supernatural things, Lord, dwells inside of us. God, we thank you that we are supernatural people. We're not natural, but we're supernatural. That the supernatural is natural to us because we are supernaturally born into the kingdom of God. And God, the kingdom is supernatural above the natural things of man. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have anointed us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the power of God is resident in us. And we ask that this week you will use us. Father, when there's a sick person, let us lay hands on them and they will recover. God, when it's somebody that is discouraged, let us lay hands on them and the joy of the Lord will bubble up in their heart. God, when they're in a position, Lord, of sickness or disease, we curse it in Jesus' name as we lay hands on them. And Father, we thank you that you're going to use us to draw many people to your kingdom. We're going to be powerful people in the kingdom of God doing great things for Jesus. In your name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Be blessed. Have an awesome night. Offering over here, doors over there. Fill your row.